Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., a program where we really do work to build the individual, the family, and the community. And one of the ways that we like to partner when it comes to building community is by working with people who help build it, particularly in the educational system. So here we go. It's about educational matters today, and we are joined by Mr. Jeffrey Jones with Payne College at Augusta. As a matter of fact, the historic Payne College. Mr. Jeffrey Jones, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing well, too. And it's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
We're getting ready to talk about a bit about Payne College. Definitely historic. Mm-hmm. They have something historic going on there that we're going to be talking about in a short while. But before we begin to talk more about Payne and more about a very, very special event that will be taking place there, let's get to know Mr. Jeffrey Jones a little bit better. If you could talk with us, let us know, for example, some of the things that occurred that helped you get on, first of all, the academic track that you took and what degree, final degree you ended up with. And from there, how that segued into your career path.
Oh, wow. Well, when I was a student at Payne, actually, I'm a graduate of Payne, I entered Payne going to be a high school English teacher. That's what I wanted to be. Because I love to read, I love to write. So I wanted to kind of contribute. I thought I would be best contributing that way. But my sophomore year, I was asked by the provost at the time to apply for this fellowship that encourages African-American students, particularly, and other minorities. But at the time, it was particularly African-American. It's expanded since then. A fellowship that needed to find students who will be interested in becoming college professors, and particularly underrepresented disciplines, like, for instance, English. There are not a lot of black professors on that level. Receiving a PhD in it, rather. And so they're trying to encourage students to do that. So I had never thought of being a college professor. And that changed my idea because I applied for the program and got accepted into the program. And it really changed my way of thinking of how to process information, how to gain information, how to share information. But it also piqued my interest, my intellectual curiosity on issues around African-American literature, which is my specialty. And I focused on 19th century American literature, particularly African-American literature, and I was able to really focus on that and what it meant to be a scholar, something I had not thought of before, what it meant to be a scholar. You know, I knew I was meant to be a good student, but I didn't know what it meant to be a potential scholar. And what I realized is that the provost was trying to push me and other students to be scholarly students, like you're going to move on from college and do these great things. And I believed it. And I think that kind of pushed me towards, I went up. So once I finished Payne, I went off to graduate school and got a master's in English, because I also got a bachelor's in English. And I just really enjoyed the rigor, the intellectual rigor and curiosity. And that's something I try to instill in my students today about how to, you know, how to be serious about research, that it really reveals a lot about who you are. Because when I was taking an African-American literature class, and I tell my students all the time, that really got my interest in African-American literature is when we studied Frederick Douglass. Mm-hmm. I had not read Frederick Douglass, except for maybe cursory stuff in high school. But I had not read anything by him. Although it's about a journey about a slave becoming free, it kind of paralleled my life in ways that, you know, because, you know, I had a great childhood, but we had some major challenges that I had to become an adult faster than I had anticipated. Mm-hmm. But those challenges prepared me for my time at Payne. And so when I read Douglass, it kind of helped me understand that, one, that the ultimate absolute power of reading, you know, that it really has the power to emancipate you. And so that's something that he And so that's something I believe in now. And then it came clear to me why I love to read, because it opened up new worlds that I was not exposed to. And then now realizing that very next year, after, you know, being in that fellowship program, I go on my first study abroad trip to Johannesburg, South Africa. Awesome. So it now becomes, you know, now it's become reality. You know, and I think about it from time to time that I didn't realize that all of those experiences were preparing me for this time now as a professor. And so, you know, because I had always said I want to be I'm just going to read and teach and write. And I could see why, because particularly with black men, since there's not many black men getting PhDs, mm-hmm. it's important, although we have a lot of great black men who have PhDs and who are doing well, particularly we know some of the major public intellectuals, but there are a lot of those who are in at these colleges and universities who are really on the ground doing the work. You know, they may never get the flash and fame, but they are producing students and producing scholars because they believe there's a deep commitment to that. And I've always believed in the power of HBCUs. And so, because that was instilled in me from the very first time I got to Payne, that, you know, once you get this education, you share it with your community. And every experience I had helped me with that. Even when I went to grad school at Clark Atlanta, it even broadened me, because now I went from Augusta to a larger city, and I was able to interact with students from not only just in Georgia or around the country, but around the world. Mm-hmm. And I had a little bit of that at Payne, but but all of those experiences helped me to be a wide-worded person. And I try to tell my students that's what you want to do. Don't let, just because you may have come from a certain background or you didn't have certain things, doesn't mean you can achieve, because I'm a living witness that you can do anything, you know, because I had the proper background, the proper nurturing, because sometimes we have students that don't have that nurturing, yeah. But when they come to Payne, they get that kind of nurturing, and they realize that they can do things. And so I've produced students who've gone far. So, and again, it underscores the power of HBCUs and the power of the types of faculty and staff mm-hmm. that we have at these institutions that are, you know, they're serious about their profession, and they're serious, and that everybody, even from the custodian to the president, is interested in the development of the student, which I find very important, and because we're all in it together. And every time I see that kind of interaction, it reminds me that's how I was able to make it through mm-hmm. Payne, you know, because
it
I had
does
that
make
type
a
of,
difference too, doesn't it? When you have people mm-hmm. who are showing an interest
mm-hmm.
and they mm-hmm. can show an interest in this individual, that individual. So even if you know they're trying to inspire 30, 40, 60 other people,
mm-hmm.
the fact that they've also spoken to you individually
mm-hmm.
makes a difference.
It does make a difference. And, you know, and the fact that, you know, of course I wanted to go to college, but because of finances and other issues, family issues, I was like many students that even that I come across now, you know, they don't know if they can make it through college, or they don't know if they get into college, they just don't understand. But I said, no, you just got to be determined, mm-hmm. you know, take advantage of the resources around you. Don't shut yourself up, because I was telling myself just the other day that you want to get in the habit of building relationships even with faculty and staff that you don't see every day, because you don't know where they might lead, because we're such a small institution, they are seeing what you're doing, even if you're not realizing it. And that opened up doors for me, because I was able to get recommendations, especially when I applied for scholarships or from faculty that weren't not only just in my department, but from other departments, because they had seen my work on the campus, either in, you know, student organizations or, you know, in other clubs. And so they saw how serious I was. And I said, you want to make that clear to you that this place will make you, prepare you, but you have to take advantage of what's.
Right.
And that's because, yes, we don't have a lot, you know, a lot of colleges don't, but you're able to do some major things because, and that's the history of all HBCUs, that they took little
and made much of it.
Mm-hmm. So don't let that disturb you, discourage you. It can get daunting at times, you know, that you don't have certain, But it's not as bad as you think. If we go to other institutions, we're doing much better than some, you know. But we're all in. But the key thing is that all of us are in it together. Mm-hmm. So and that's a big thing about how to show them that, you know, it doesn't matter where you came from. You know, even if you came to this small little school, this little school will prepare you for your next level, whatever you want it to be. So that's the good thing about it.
And I know you went to Payne, as you mentioned. You got your bachelor's in English.
Mm-hmm.
You got your master's of English.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a PhD in English, something else?
No, I didn't finish my PhD at the time. I'm in the process of applying to return to finish my PhD. So
would that be English too?
Yeah, it would be in English. And I'm still debating on that because, you know, it would still be in literature because I just...
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved literature because the study of literature, and because now the big word in academia is called interdisciplinary. You know, if you can put one discipline with the other discipline. So, and I didn't realize that's what I was doing, you know, when I was at Payne, even though I was at Clark Atlanta, because it wasn't as big as it is now. So, my focus would probably still be in, it would be a PhD in literature.
In literature. And,
because because all the study I've had up to this point has prepared me to do other things because of that strong, because the skills that I get from those, from when I got my bachelor's and master's, they help me as I, you know, teach, as I, you know, research and do other things.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm wondering, I know that there are people who are listening, and there are quite a few people who are saying, well, you know, I'll be heading to school shortly, year
mm-hmm.
or two, 3 years from now. Still just kind of debating
mm-hmm.
what I might major in. And I know a lot of people are hearing a lot about science, technology, engineering, math. A lot of people are hearing about biology,
mm-hmm.
anything that mm-hmm. might be considered
mm-hmm.
pre-med.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at literature, what are we really focusing on? What is that study actually about?
Well, you know... and this is one of the, you know, the debates we have, you know, the humanities versus the sciences.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that way, but it
I
is.
Agree.
At the heart of the study of literature, or even study of English, for instance, or is the development of clear reading interpretation, that they can read something and understand it and analyze it. You know, make connections between one text and another text, apply maybe a certain world event to this, because many writers are responding to what's going on around
yes,
them at
sir.
The time of their writing. So so it's just a matter of applying it. A deep sense of intellectual thought and well reasoned communication, because one thing that I tell students, you know, that's one of the reasons why some students, because they still trying to figure it out, is that they don't like writing, is because, you know, you have to be patient with writing. You can't just, you know, you have to be reasoned. If you want it to be good,
right.
You have to take your time, and it really is teaching us a skill about reflection. Being vulnerable, these are skills that you need to maneuver through life,
mm-hmm.
and so the humanities, you know, art, music, writing, they teach us to be sensitive to certain things, whereas, you know, science is, you know, facts, hard driven conclusions, which is fine, but the thing is, but you need someone who be able to be empathetic with people, to understand the bigger picture, and fiction does that. Even some nonfiction does that, and because they're able to take a situation, it may apply to their own life, or they mm-hmm. can apply it to someone, some situation that they didn't have, you know, that you couldn't do in maybe in other disciplines. That's what makes, you know, studying the humanities very interesting. It makes it, you know, because we get those. You know, I hate to use the buzzword critical thinking skills, but the critical thinking skills, but it is really what it should be, about these whole notion of learning, understand and taken abroad, especially now in the era of social media, it's a lost art now for it's becoming a losing art. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's a lost art, but it's becoming, if we're not careful, it can become a lost art about, you know, critical thinking, really engaging someone's thoughts and learn how to use real dialogue. See, that's what you learn in an English class or a music class, because dialogue is so central,
yes sir,
to understanding someone's experiences. But if you're just shouting at them, and you know, you won't get the full, you know, and that's where, because dialogue requires a reflection, because you can't have analysis and synthesis without it. So, and that's the big thing. And so, but the good thing is, so DeBase says, well, getting an English degree doesn't give you any money. You can't make any money off that. And most people who are in this, like we didn't come in, because if that was the case, we wouldn't have majored in in these degrees, mm-hmm. because we know that there's very few people who are in these fields who are doing very well lucratively. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have to use it as a measure,
yeah.
But there's so many other advantages of having these degrees.
I'll tell you one that came to my mind when you were talking about logic, reasoning, analyzing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, wow, a person get a degree in literature, they should be well prepared mm-hmm. for law school.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, because that's every class focuses on that, you know, and builds upon that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why, you know, I was telling my students, because, you know, there's a lot of things. Is the English major dead? You know, should we major English? But now major companies like in Silicon Valley are hiring English majors.
Interesting.
Because they need people who know how to reason well, think well. They know that you could design the best app or the best program, but they need somebody who can critically think and understand and break down complex concepts for everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and that's what we learn in English. And so
that's awesome.
And so that's why you see now some mergers between art and science.
Our guest, Mr. Jeffrey Jones, and I'll be right back.
Okay.